courage change things we can't, and the wisdom to know the difference. You know, like I started coming around to these meetings whenever I was real young. I was like 3. My mom and dad were both in recovery. And I remember whenever I was about a little bit older, and I would still come to meetings with my dad. And I would run around and be like, "Dad, let me chair. Can I speak? Let me do a reading. I want to do clean time." And, you know, like, I wanted to be involved. And then, you know, like, I had to go out and experience for myself. What recovery was about, you know, like I had to experience using and everything. I started using at the age of 13, and then like I got clean at the age of 18. You know, like it's hard coming into these rooms at a young age. You know, like I struggled with leaving my old friends because they were such good friends, and like I would have nothing to do anymore because there's nothing for young people to do, and it was hard to relate whenever I came into these rooms with like the older people because I was so young. You know, like whenever I came in, I'm grateful that there was some young people with me. Like all the old people, like I could relate to, but like they weren't my age. You know, like they weren't at my level, I guess. You know, like I still struggle sometimes with like being a youth and not. Like, being able to do some of the things that, like, normal youth can do, or, like, still addict youth can do. You know, like, I can't go to parties anymore. You know, like, I can't do that kind of stuff anymore, and, I don't know, like, whenever I first came in, like, a week after I got out of rehab, I decided to test it out and try to go to a party at a young age. And, everyone was drinking and smoking weed at that party, and I just sat in the corner and, like, I rocked back and forth waiting for someone to take me home. Because I didn't want to disappoint my dad and call him and tell him I need to pick up from this party. You know, like just getting out of rehab. And thankfully, you know, like I stayed clean through that. I didn't get high. You know, like whenever I came into these rooms, I took some suggestions, you know, like I got a home group, I got a sponsor right away. You know, like they said, do 90 meetings in 90 days. I did that. And I got some relationships, you know, established within that time. You know, like I didn't really stick with the women like they suggested. You know, like I got with the guys instead, and it was like, I don't know, it was kind of like still like living that lifestyle, you know. It's like, yeah, I'm young and I can still do this and all this other stuff, and like really I can't do that. And you know, like, since I'm clean, a lot of stuff has happened. You know, like I had... a few months clean, I like 9 months clean, and you know, like I was starting to get some relationships with women established, and you know, like I screwed that up because I went and did some wrong stuff. My old grand sponsor. You know, and then, like, 2 weeks after that, my mom had passed away. Then, like, a month after that, the sponsor that I had relapsed. You know, it was all, like, just hitting me with a ton of bricks, and, like, you know, like, I got through it, though, without getting high. And like, I don't know, this program like shows me that I have a choice today, you know, like I was at a meeting earlier and they were talking about the choice that we have through this program, and like that's what this program offers me today, the choice if I want to get high or not, you know, like the choice if I want to live that old lifestyle or not, you know. Like, choice if I just want to live life to the fullest, you know, and like that's what I try to do on a daily basis, and like enjoy life. You know, like, I'm 19 now, and like I can still do fun stuff in recovery. I don't have to go to parties, I don't have to do that kind of stuff. And like, I'd be lying if I didn't say, you know, if I said, yeah, if I saw one of my old friends and they're like, oh, what are you doing tonight? You know, you want to go to this party? Like, I'd be lying if I didn't say, you know, like, I got jealous, or, you know, like, I didn't think about going, because I probably did, you know? I don't know, like, I just have so much to be grateful for with this program. You know, like, this program shows me, like, it shows me how to live, and, like, I didn't know how to do that before. You know, like, shows me how to be responsible. Like, even lately, I haven't really been, like, that great with my responsibilities. Haven't been, like, I've been hating on work, not wanting to go to work, and, you know, like, I slack on my responsibilities a lot within the last week. You know, like, I know, like, this program is showing me, like, this weekend, it's showing me a lot of stuff, and, I don't know, like, I could be an adult about things sometimes, you know, like, not all the time. I could be mature about things sometimes, and sometimes I can't. And, I don't know, like, this program showing me, you know, like, how to have relationships, like, how to have another relationship with a female and, like, get like real close with them. programs, like, also showing me, like, how to have a relationship with my family, like, how to have a relationship with my boyfriend. Like, I wasn't able to do that before. I wasn't able to talk to my family before without fighting. I wasn't able to have a relationship with a boyfriend before. And I definitely wasn't able to have relationships with women today. Well, before, not today, but today I have relationships with women. I'm just so grateful for this program, and, like, I'm really grateful that I get to share this experience, this retreat. It's, like, sometimes it's easy being young and in recovery, and sometimes it's not. Like, everybody at work, they're always like, oh, we're having parties and stuff, and I'm like, oh, well, I can't go, I don't drink, you know. And they don't, all of them don't know that I'm an addict at work. And, it's hard sometimes to decline that. Like, sometimes I think, since I'm still young, and, you know, like, I'm not even 21 yet, I can still go out and drink. But, like, deep down, I know I can't. Like, that's, like, the main thing that I struggle with sometimes. I know, but, like, I do what I have to do, you know, to get through that stuff. I know, like, I'm real honored to speak here. You know, like, someone was telling me earlier, like, this is one of the biggest retreats, and, like, I was real nervous. I still am. You know, like, it's also hard, you know, like, being young and being a woman and not having, like, my mom in my life anymore, you know. She was, like, a big part of my life. I used with her, and, like, I got clean, and she got clean, and she went back out, and, I still love her to this day with all my heart, and, like, it's real hard sometimes, like, not having that person, you know, like, a mom in your life that you can just go to and, like, talk to someone, like, just to talk about anything, you know? Like, this program helps me with this, because, like, I can talk to my support group about anything, you know? Like, I can talk to my sponsor about anything. I can come and sit in a meeting and share in a meeting about what's going on with me and, like, how I feel. And there's people there that love me and that care about me and that are there for me throughout everything. I don't know. I'm just, like, I'm real grateful to be here. And this is, like, a good experience for me. And I think that's all I got.
Okay, our next speaker is Alicia from Laurel Mountain Highlands area.
Oh, it's okay. Hi, guys. I'm Alicia, and I'm an addict. And I am so overwhelmed right now. I don't know if I should cry because I finally stuck around long enough to, like, make it up here and be able to talk, because someone thinks I have a clear enough message to share, or if I should piss my pants because I'm so nervous. I'm really not sure where I'm going, but I don't know. Youth and recovery. I hear it all the time. Grow up. Grow up. And the first thought that usually comes to my mind is fuck you. And then the second one is, I'm usually surrounded by like 35, 40, 50-year-olds, and I think, well, they should grow up. You know what I mean? They're 50. It's about time they start doing something with their lives. And then, you know, I'm like, I'm only 19. Most people who are 19 are still living with their parents, and their parents are buying them everything, and they don't got to get up. They don't have to work. So then again, most 19-year-olds don't have to come to NA meetings because they shot dope for the last 4 years of their life. So, I mean, I guess I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Growing up, my mom, my dad, my stepmom, my stepdad, they're all addicts. They were all in active addiction, and they all still are. My brother's in active addiction as well, so I kind of... It was one of those, like, you don't really get a chance to have a childhood kind of things. I always thought I was so grown up. I always thought that, like, because, you know, when I was younger, if I didn't get myself out of bed, no one else was, you know. If I didn't cook myself something to eat, no one was cooking anything for me. You know, if I didn't get up and go to school, nobody really gave a fuck because they were too busy smoking crack upstairs, you know. So it was like I ran my own life, like, when I was younger. And my sister died. She was drinking and driving, and she was killed when I was 10 years old. And my stepmom, she was a little off balance, to say it politely. And she went into a really bad depression after that, and she told me basically that, you know, she said it should have been you in that car. And I decided then that, like, the physical, the mental, the sexual abuse that I'd taken, like, my childhood, it was over, you know. I went to my grandparents' house, and it was a complete lifestyle change because my grandparents are, like, my grand still thinks I should wear a skirt every day. And, you know, ladies don't cuss, and they don't spit, and they, they make their bed in the morning and they pick up their clothes. Look, my room looks like, my boyfriend says all the time, my room looks like the Salvation Army. Because there's shit everywhere and half of it doesn't fit and the other half. I don't even know what's dirty and what's clean. I gotta pick it up and smell it. And that's how I determine what's dirty and what's clean. And I'm not very ladylike, and that's okay. Whatever. But anyways, I'm a little ADD, so if I jump back and forth, just try to follow, nod every now and then, make me feel like you understand where I'm going. Yeah, so I moved in with them, and they were so strict. I had to get a 95 or better in all my classes, because an A minus is not an A, and it is unacceptable. I had to be perfect at everything I did. It wasn't about, like, most families teach, like, you join your sports and you have a good time. Mine was like, you join it and you win. And if you can't win and you can't be perfect, then you don't do it. And I think that's kind of where my extreme came from, because I'm the kind of person that, like, if I can't do it perfect, then fuck it. I'm not doing it at all. And that gets my ass in trouble a lot of times, you know? Because no one is perfect, right? No one is perfect. And I've kind of got to the point in my life where, like, I had so much pressure and, like, responsibility on me. Like, I always said, like, I'm never going to be like my mom. I'm never going to be like my brother. Like, I said, I'm never going to drink. I'm never going to smoke weed, you know. I remember when I found out my mom smoked weed, I was like, oh, my God. And she was like, don't tell your teacher. And I was like, all right, you know. But it's kind of one of those things that, like, if your mom does it, it must not be that bad, you know. And I don't know, but, so, yeah. I've got all this responsibility, right? I got to maintain a 95 or better, and, you know, I got to be I'm captain of the field hockey team. I'm captain of the track team. You know, we placed fourth in district. I'm fucking, like, 15th in my class. And I can't bring anybody home to my house because my dad's smoking crack. And, you know, my stepmom is fucking smoking crack, and she's a whore. And fucking, I can't take anybody to my mom's house because she's too busy, you know, putting meth up her nose, you know. And my brother's a junkie. So, like, I went to school and I wore the smile, like, everything was okay, you know. And my grandma always taught me, like, if you look good on the outside, people will think that you're okay. If I dress nice and I smile, people are going to think I'm okay. You don't talk about the bad shit. Because if you talk about the bad shit, then people are going to talk about you. And image is everything to her. And that's how I grew up. Image is everything. And, so I'm trying. Like, I'm doing all this shit. I'm putting my hand in everything. School newspaper, fucking. You know, I always hear addicts talk about how they felt like they never fit in. And, like, to be honest, I never really had that problem, you know. I could pretty much walk up and talk to anybody, but, like, I didn't know who I was because I was fake. I pretended like I was happy all the time, and I wasn't. I was never really happy, you know. I could never really find anything to be happy about. You know, I always envied the perfect family, like the house up on the hill with the fucking, you know, two kids and the dog and the cars and the money, and their mom and dad love each other. Like, I always wanted that. That's like, that was my fantasy. Like, when I laid down at night and the screaming and yelling was coming and I had to run to my grandparents because I knew I was going to get my fucking ass beat, that's what I thought about. I wish I had this. I lived in a fantasy world most of my life because when I came home, it was kind of one of those, go up in my room, put my headphones on, and fucking pray that I can't hear it through the music. You know? When I was 12, I started drinking and smoking weed. But I still maintained, you know, like I still went to school every day, I still played sports, I still kept my grades. When I was 15, my stepmom killed herself. She took 90 Oxycontin, her whole prescription. Me and my dad had to go identify her in the hotel room. And I think that was like a major turning point in my life because I got to the point where, like, no one else is taking any fucking responsibility for their lives. Why should I? Why should I continue to carry my mom and my dad and my brother and her and everyone else's weight on my shoulders? You know, I decided right then and there that I was not fucking growing up, that I did not want any of this responsibility anymore, and, you know, fuck it. And what sealed the deal was I decided that I was going to tell my dad about my stepbrother and how he sexually abused me when I was younger, right? And my dad knew when I told him. He knew what was going on the entire time, but he never did anything about it because he loved his wife so much that he thought if he put her son out that she would leave too. So I wasn't that important. And it was kind of one of those things like, if your parents can't protect you and your parents can't love you for who you are, who the fuck is going to love me? Because I know I didn't love myself, you know? And I kind of just, from there, it was like, whatever, whenever, I don't fucking care anymore. I'm not going to school. I'm not, you know, I'm quitting sports. And fuck, I'm telling you, field hockey was my life. Like, seriously, that shit was my, I don't even know. I had a scholarship. I had a partial scholarship to play at Penn State University that I fucking pissed away shooting dope. You know? I did my first line of coke when I was 15 with my mother. And I had my first needle filled with heroin in my arm at 16 and my first rehab at 17. When I went into rehab, I weighed 79 pounds. I could suck my stomach in and touch my fingertips around my waist, and I'm 5'5", so you can just picture that. I was doing, like, 2 bundles a day. I didn't even, like, realize, like, what I was doing to myself, you know. I didn't care. I got out, I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous. I had no fucking idea that this even existed. I didn't even... Narcotics, what the fuck is that? I came to my first meeting, and, like, I didn't know I was supposed to stand up and say I was a new... I didn't know I was supposed to, you know, pick up a white key tag and... Because where I started out in recovery, like, if you, not just if you relapse, but, like, if this is your first time in a meeting, you get a white key tag. You know, everyone wants to hug you. I'm like, why are these people hugging me? Ew. Like, I don't know. I wasn't cool with anybody because I wasn't cool with myself. And I heard, this is the first time I ever heard this time around. Someone actually told me the reason why we hug each other at the end of every meeting and when we see each other is because we might not ever see each other again, you know? And that really made me think. I'm so lucky to be here. Like, I'm blessed to be here. Like, at any given day, I'm ready to throw my fucking hands up and quit. I'm ready to get high, you know, but, like, I found people who really love me, you know what I mean? And the days that, like, I don't want to do this for myself anymore are the days that, like, I take a look at the faces around, like, my sponsor, my boyfriend, my best friend, you know? I mean, I have a guy best friend, and it's not a sexual relationship. Holy shit. You know what I mean? It's crazy, you know? I'm not where I want to be or probably where I need to be, but I'm not where I used to be. So, you know, there's growth in there. And, like, I don't want to work. And I don't want to pay bills. And I don't want to get up in the... I don't want to work night shift because then I feel like, you know, my night, I don't have any time to do anything with anybody or go anywhere. But I don't want to work day shift because I cannot get my ass out of bed in the morning. So, like, I don't want to be responsible, period. I just don't want to do anything. I want someone else to pay my bills for me and feed me. And, like, one of these days I got to wake up and wipe my own ass, you know? But I don't know. I'm working the steps. I'm finding out where some of my trust issues come from, where some of my I don't want to grow up issues come from, you know? I've come to find that, like, my sponsor is my fucking vault, dude. Like, I tell her shit that, like, I don't know, you know? Like, I don't know. I never really confided in anyone before because it's so hard, especially, you know, when you feel like you can't trust anyone. And, like, I finally found someone that, like, I can confide in, that, like, I can talk to, that I can cry to, that I can cry with, and not feel like a pussy. Like, I was always taught you don't talk about the shit that sucks. You don't talk about the bad stuff, because if you ignore it long enough, it'll go away. But, like, the truth is, when I got here, I learned if I ignore shit, it doesn't go away, it just grows and grows and grows, and when you finally fucking face it, it's this big ass thing that, like, you're overwhelmed with. And us as addicts, me as an addict anyways, my first thing that I know how to do to fucking take away the pain is go out and get a bag and get high. And no, don't get me wrong, like, my addiction manifests itself in a lot of different ways. I'm obsessed over, I know what I do to, like, take away the pain that I have inside, and I know that it's not healthy, you know, I have unhealthy ways of, like, wanting to, like, relieve my stress, you know, I'm a cutter, too. Wow, that's the first time I've ever said that, like, out loud, because I got issues. But, like, I am, you know, and I'm trying to take the principles from Narcotics Anonymous and apply it to that, because addiction is not just the substance. My attitudes, my behaviors, and my beliefs, right? So, I gotta change everything. I hear people say all the time that they're starting over. I'm starting over! That's great, because I never fucking started. I was 12 years old when I, you know, took my first drink, my first fucking hit of weed or whatever, and I was fucking 15 with coke in my nose and 16 with a needle in my arm. Tell me where I got any fucking life experience. Everything that I was taught when I was younger was push, 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 push by my grandparents, and when you fuck up and you can't do it, my parents showed me how to fix that. You get high. So shit, I'm not starting over. I'm just starting. And I'm starting with Narcotics Anonymous. I'm starting with a new family, you know? People who don't say, I love you because, Alicia, I love you, I'm your mother. Well, that's nice to know, you know? Like, that statement really doesn't make you feel any better. But, like, when you walk into your sponsor's house and she hugs you and she tells you she loves you. When your best friend hugs you and he tells you or she tells you that they love you. When your boyfriend can honestly sit down and tell you shit that's fucking wrong with you. And I get irritated and mad because he's always fucking right. And but, like, whatever, because it's because they love you. You know what I mean? People pick out your fucking defects, but they tell you your assets, too. And that's what I'm learning. Like, I'm not completely fucked up. I got good shit inside. But, like, I just got to feed the right part. You know what I mean? If I keep doing the negative shit, I'm going to stay negative and I'm not going to grow. But, like, if I look at some of the positive things that I have in my life and realize that, like, I'm fucking worth it. I don't have to go out and shoot dope for another 20 fucking years, if I even make it that long, to come in so I can say, all right, it's time for me to grow up now because I'm 45, so all right, whatever. Fuck drinking. I don't care if I turn 21. I don't like to drink anyway, so what the fuck is the point? It doesn't even taste good, so fuck 21. I don't know. I don't know. I just know the only thing that I do know is I don't have to get high today. I didn't get high today yet. It's not over, but I don't have to. I have a choice, and that's what this program has given me. You know, that's what I've learned. I can say no if I want to. I can say no. Not yes, and that's why I'm here. I hear people say all the time, using's not an option for me anymore. Then why the fuck are you at a meeting? You know what I mean? Like, I come to meetings because using is always an option for me. If I want to, I can always go back out and pick up and get myself a whole bunch more fucking misery. But, like, I don't want to, and that's why I'm here. Whatever. It's my choice, right? It all comes down what I want to do in the end, and shit's not always good, and it sure as hell isn't always easy, but, like, I'm not dope sick, I'm not hungry, my family talks to me, but most of all, I'm starting to, like myself a little bit, and I know it'll come more with the, you know, working some more steps, and going to more meetings, and getting involved, and doing shit like this that you don't want to do, but I'm happy to be clean today, and I'm actually happy that I woke up this morning, and that's not anything I ever thought I would say. And before I end, I just want to say that, like, we lost someone real close to our family in Johnstown on Wednesday, and that doesn't have to be anybody here. And it doesn't have to be me. He was a really, really great person, and he had a really beautiful daughter who will never get to grow up with her dad because of this fucking disease. Right here. It's no fucking joke, guys. He was only, like, what, 26, 24? His daughter's never gonna see him. He's not gonna be at her first prom. He's not gonna be at her graduation. Because he wanted to shoot a bag of dope. No fucking joke. Doesn't have to be anyone here. You don't have to wait till you're fucking 50 to get clean. So if you guys would do me a favor, if you want, just keep him and his family in your prayers tonight, you know? They just lost their son, and a little girl just lost their dad. And we just lost a member of our family. That doesn't have to be anyone. No addict needs dialogue. Our message is hope, and our promise is freedom. That's all I have.